Sue Lee, thank you very much for reading those. And do keep those to hand for a moment as we look back at our readings. But as we do that, let me lead us in a short prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the gift of baptism, and we thank you for the gift of your word that helps us understand baptism. And we pray that as we think about the meaning of what we've done together this morning, you would shine the light and truth of your word into our minds and into our hearts. And we pray that this would be for our good and for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today it's a great day for George and Owen and for Jeff and Maeve and the family, their whole family and us as a church family, the day that the boys got baptized. But what exactly is baptism? What does it mean to be baptized? What is it that we've done this morning to George and Owen when I splashed water on them and they said those words from the font? They answered those questions. Baptizing someone with water, according to the Bible, is a sign, an outward sign of something that in George and Owen's case has already taken place on the inside. And as with all signs, you have to be very careful to read them correctly, to follow them accurately, because if you don't do that, you can end up in completely the wrong place. I don't know if you've seen those photographs of signs that people have gathered from all over the world, normally from abroad. And sometimes the English translations of what's being signified is not exactly right, or there's some unintended consequences. We've got a few of those to have a look at now. Here's the first one, the old dog. I'm not sure that's an accurate translation of that particular one. Here's another one. Doesn't matter how good that price is, you're not interested, are you? What about this one? For those at the back, there's a great big crack running down the middle of the sign. How about this one? Now, of course, this is silly and childish, and we all know that in German it means something completely different. What about the next one? Many Christmas. Many Christmas. Certainly that's what it feels like. I'm not sure that's a restaurant that you'd feel comfortable or confident eating at. The fatal restaurant. Thank you. Signs don't always have their intended meaning, and sometimes we read them completely wrongly. And baptism as a sign is no different. In fact, in some ways, in the whole history of signs, baptism is perhaps the most misread, the most misunderstood sign of all. So what's going on in baptism when George and Owen were baptized just now? What does the sign that we all saw point to? We saw the outward, but what is happening and has happened in their lives already inwardly? Three pictures, three symbols from the Bible. And the first one, I think, you'll find them printed on the order of service under the readings. The first one, I think, is pretty obvious, and it comes from our first reading from the Apostle Paul's letter to a Christian leader of the time, a man called Titus, and it's washing. Baptism is a symbol of washing, an outward sign of an inward reality. Have a look with me at those words again from that reading. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Christ Jesus our Saviour, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Now, I think this is the most obvious of the three pictures that we're given of what is being signified in baptism, the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. I'm sure George and Owen had a shower before they got here this morning. They certainly looked very, very smart. Maybe not every single morning, but certainly this morning. They didn't need to have a wash, therefore, when they got to church. But the way that we baptized them, throwing the water on them, clearly a wash was what they were getting. The water symbolizes on the outside what has already happened on the inside in these boys' lives, and indeed in anyone who has put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. When you do that, when George and Owen did that, Jesus Christ generously poured out his Holy Spirit into their lives to wash them clean, spiritually, inwardly. All their guilt, all their shame, all their sin washed away, gone, wiped clean. It's such a powerful cleansing, it's such a deep spiritual clean that it's described in our reading not just as renewal, having your same old life renewed, it's described as a rebirth, actually being born again through Jesus Christ, pouring his Holy Spirit into the lives of all who trust in him as Savior. Now we need to be clear, that didn't happen just now, 20 minutes ago at the beginning of our service. When I poured the water on top of George and Owen, Jesus Christ didn't respond by pouring his Holy Spirit into their lives, waiting for us to take the initiative. What we symbolized a few moments ago by pouring the water onto George and Owen this morning has already happened in their lives. We're just playing catch up here this morning with what Jesus Christ has already done in their lives. That's the first thing that is being symbolized by baptism. It's a wonderful thing that the Christian faith holds out to anyone who recognizes their need of a Savior and then in Jesus Christ recognizes that need being met. All their guilt, all their shame, all their pride and regret and their disappointment and their disillusionment and their frustration and their sin being washed away. Total renewal and rebirth. And I wonder in some ways as whether the older you get, the more of life that you live, the more appealing that kind of offer becomes. But I wonder whether at the same time, the harder that kind of offer is to accept, the more of life that you live, the more water that goes under the bridge, so to speak. And the reason, I think, comes in verse 5 of our reading, if you look with me back at verse 5 of Titus chapter 3. Let me read just from the first verse to get the flow. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. See, that is the sticking point, I think, for many people. The thing that stops them having Jesus Christ as their Savior. It is not because of the righteous things that we do that God saves us. It is simply because of his kindness and his love and his mercy. We contribute nothing. He does everything. It's very, very humbling. And for many, it's too humbling. On one occasion, George Bernard Shaw, here's one for the Irish here this morning. George Bernard Shaw walked out of church where the kindness and love and mercy of God was being proclaimed. He said these words as he left, "I will pay for my own sins. I will pay for my own sins." The thought that Jesus Christ should do that for him, he found utterly repellent, too humbling to accept. That's the first picture of washing by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, as an act, a pure act of mercy and kindness by God the Father. The second picture, I think, is a little harder for us to see because of simply the way that we do baptism here in this church. But nevertheless, it's a helpful biblical picture. And it's in our second reading, again, from the Apostle Paul. This time he's writing to some Christians in Rome. And the picture we have here is of dying. Baptism is a symbol of dying. Have a look with me at the beginning of our reading from Romans chapter 6. "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. When we baptized George and Owen just now, they stood, as you saw, next to the font, and I splashed water on their heads, which makes it a little bit harder to get the picture of baptism as symbolizing dying. In a lot of churches, and in fact in this church too, sometimes when a person gets baptized, they don't stand next to a font like this and have water splashed on top of them. They actually lie back into a large pool of water and they go right under. It's not really important how you get the water on you, lying back or standing next to a font. It's just that the lying back way of doing it makes this picture of baptism dying. Perhaps we could use this microphone somewhere. Have a look with me at verse 3 again of Romans chapter 6. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. Do you see what's being said there? That when George and Owen put their faith in Jesus and in his death on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins, they weren't just saying that his death was for them, that he died in their place, taking the punishment for them, for this, that their sins deserved. All that is true. But they were saying something else. They were saying that through their baptism, that when Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, by faith, spiritually, they died with him. When he died on the cross, it's like they died with him. And that's true of them. That's what they were declaring. And that's true of all Christians. And that's what baptism symbolizes. It's saying loud and clear that when Christ died, I died with him. Why is it important to say that? Well, it's important because of what the Apostle Paul goes on to say in verse 6. Have a look with me back at our reading, Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, it's like you put your old self on the cross with him. The old you is crucified with Christ. And when that happens, something happens inside you. A power is broken inside you. The power of sin is broken. And you're set free in that moment. Your new self is reborn and you're set free from the power of sin. Extraordinary. Christmas is soon upon us, and beyond that lies the new year. Time for New Year's resolutions. Fresh starts, turning over new leaves. Probably a little early to be thinking about those already. But without wanting to sound unnecessarily pessimistic, how often have we tried and failed at that time of year, New Year, or if we're honest, at any time of year, to change ourselves, to improve ourselves, to break the habit that has enslaved and ensnared us? How many times have we tried and how many times have we failed? And that's only the track record for the problems that we're aware of, that we think need dealing with.
What about all the problems that are equally real but we're totally oblivious to? Our view of ourselves is partial. Our track record of changing is poor. Because our power to change is not as great as the power that holds us. Our power to change is not as great as the power that holds us. But what about if there was a power available that was greater than the power that holds us? Greater than the problems that we're aware of, but greater still than the problems that we're oblivious to. When you die with Christ by faith, you die to the power of sin in your life. That's the kind of dying that George and Owen's baptism symbolized this morning. Jeff and Maeve, the bad news is that that doesn't mean that George and Owen will, from today or from the day they first became Christians, now live sinless lives. So you may want to ratchet down your expectations for the boys this afternoon and into next week. The good news is that from the day that they first put their trust in Christ, that they died with him on the cross, they died to the power of sin in their lives. That power was broken in them. That's the good news. And that means that now they can live differently. They won't always manage it. It'll be a battle from now on, but it'll be a battle that they won't be destined to lose. Baptism is a picture of washing. It's a picture of dying with Christ to the power of sin in our life that holds us. And then thirdly, and this obviously follows on from dying, and more briefly as we come to close, baptism is a picture of rising. Look again at what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 6 from verse 3. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, here it is, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. When people are baptized, very often they go under the water. If they get baptized like that, they pretty quickly come back up again. Otherwise, it wouldn't just be a symbol of dying, it would actually be dying, it would be drowning. The coming back up again, when you see that happen, is very clearly a symbol of rising. If you die with Christ as you go down into the water, then you rise with him. If you unite yourself to him by faith, then what happens to him happens to you. Let me say that again. If you unite yourself to Christ by faith, that is, if you put your trust in him, what happens to him happens to you. And that is what has happened to George and Owen. Again, not just now when we baptized them, but when they first became Christians. When they said, by putting their trust in Jesus and his death for them, they were dying with him. They were also saying in the same breath, we will rise with him as well. Do you see how Paul puts it in verse 4? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. George and Owen's baptism is a symbol that just as Christ was raised from the dead, they too have been raised to a new way of living. Not perfectly, but differently. Not now on their own, battling and failing against sin, but now filled with the Holy Spirit. Makes all the difference. Not now, same old, powerless to change, but now living with the power of sin broken in their lives. What we've done here today is a great thing. What baptism symbolizes, if you read the sign right, is a glorious thing. Washing, dying, rising. That's what we're celebrating in George and Owen's lives. And that's true of every Christian here this morning. Those things, washing, dying, rising, they're on offer to anyone this morning who would recognize in Jesus Christ the Savior that they need. Well, let's take a moment of quiet as we thank God for his gift of baptism to us. Let's take a moment of quiet. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gift of baptism. We thank you for these pictures from the Bible that help us understand what this sign means. Pray for George and Owen that you would strengthen their faith in Jesus Christ, especially through today and in the days and months and years to come. Pray that you'd strengthen the faith of all here who recognize Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Father, for any others who see in this sign something that they need, something that you can give them, please would you grow that faith in them also. Amen.